In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Abuna covered the Eucharist, and I'm going to talk about the liturgy itself. The Eucharist is taking communion, and now I'm going to talk about the liturgy, the prayer of the liturgy itself. The purpose of the liturgy is to take communion in the end, right? What if you are allowed to take communion without attending the liturgy? Would you do that or not? Ask yourself. If the church today, I'm just saying hypothetical, church says, forget about the liturgy, you know, just come at the end, take communion and leave. Would you do it or not? But be honest with yourself. If the answer is yes, then I don't really understand what the liturgy is all about. And that's what we want to talk about. The liturgy is actually a period of time where you are taking up to heaven, literally. Literally. The liturgy is heaven on earth. And it is the only time on earth when you experience heaven on earth. And when I say literally, I mean it. Literally. And I'm going to explain that to you. So the time of the liturgy is heaven on earth, literally. Before I tell you anything today, please forgive me and forgive the church and forgive the deacons, and forgive everybody who made the experience of the liturgy not heaven on earth. I'm the first one who's guilty of that. And I know it's not because, you know, we've seen the liturgy a chaos, and people talking and looking at each other and completely out of it, then this is what it's supposed to be. Absolutely not. A lot of things have changed. As a matter of fact, just as simple as the pews that you are seeing here, it's wrong, and it's not supposed to be here. That's why when you go to a monastery, or you go to some of the Orthodox churches, who, you know, other Orthodox churches, not all of them, but some Greek Orthodox, some OCA, some Russian, you wouldn't find any pew. Why? Because with time, church became a meeting place. It's not a meeting place. The church is built for the liturgy. Literally. This building is made for the liturgy. It's not made for a meeting like this. We're not supposed to be here. You know, maybe because we're coming from a place where, like, spaces are limited. And we used to do meetings and Sunday school and even play inside the church if there is no room to play, or, you know, hold the liturgy in any meeting place or any hall. But that's not what it's supposed to be. The church is built very, very complicated way and an amazing way to be a part of heaven. You will see that in some of the older Ukrainian church, for example. Ukrainian Orthodox Church, you would see that every part of the church is painted with gold and like icons all around. You get in there and you feel you're in a piece of heaven. It is supposed to be that. It is supposed to be a piece of heaven. You go, it's a window to lift you up to heaven since the minute you get in. You see the saints, I'm in heaven. And by the way, the icons that you see, they're supposed to be consecrated. What consecrated means, anointed with my rune. I don't want to get into this, but you know the my rune and the holy oil is like when you're baptized, you're anointed with my rune. And the altar is consecrated with my rune. Anything that's consecrated with my rune, it means the Holy Spirit comes upon this thing. So when I'm anointed with my rule, I'm anointed so I'm become a vessel of the Holy Spirit. That when you anoint an icon, these icons are not anointed. But when you anoint an icon with my rule, what does that mean? Is it a person that the Holy Spirit will come upon? No. But the saint of this icon is literally present through the icon. Literally present. His spirit is there. His presence, his power is there. You know, that's our belief. Anyways, I don't want to get into this. I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about the liturgy is a piece of heaven. And the church is made for the liturgy. Is made to be heaven. And that's why we have the dome. Why? For the church to be heaven. For a servant's meeting? No. For the liturgy. The church is made for the liturgy. Without liturgy, we don't need a church. We could just get a hall. We could do anything. But the church is made for liturgy. And that's a big part why we lost the sense of heaven in the church, because now the church is used for everything, including this meeting that we're talking about. The word liturgy, or liturgia, the Greek word, it's coming from the Greek word liturgia. It's literally the work of the people. The work of the people, or the worship of the people. The worship is part of work, so that's why it's called the work of the people. What is the work of the people? They gather together, and Jesus in their midst, and this is heaven. Exactly as we say in the hymn. And by the way, when you hear the hymns of the church, every word has a deep meaning. Where it says, Emmanuel, our God, is in our midst now with the glory of his Father and the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That Christ is literally in our midst now. Emmanuel ilahna fi wasatna al-an bimagdi abi wal-ruh al-qudus. What does that mean? He's literally in our midst. What does that mean? Isn't God everywhere? Like, what does it mean, Emmanuel, our God, is in our midst now? Let me ask you a question. Isn't God everywhere? Yes, God is everywhere. Isn't God in heaven? Yes, God is in heaven. So what's the difference between heaven and earth if God is everywhere? Why heaven is special? God is up there. God is here. God is everywhere. What's the difference? What's the difference? Anyone can answer. Huh? God is everywhere. Why heaven is special? No corruption or sin. Some places on earth don't have corruption or sin. Yeah, some exception. Huh? What's the difference? Hey. Yeah, you're stealing my verse, okay? Yes. And actually the liturgy and this verse is based on that. If two or three gather in my name, I'll be in their midst. Thank you. What does it mean? If I'm by myself, God is not with me? Actually, that's the right answer that Michael answered. But, you know, dig deep a little bit in it. What does it mean if two or three gather in my name, I'll be in their midst? Isn't he already in our midst? I'll read the hymn again, and it's going to give you the answer. Emmanuel, our God, is in our midst now with the glory of his Father and the Holy Spirit. Did you get it? God is everywhere, but God is not glorified everywhere. God is not the center of glory everywhere. They say that the purpose of the church is to show the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So when someone comes in the church, whoa, what is this? Seriously, That is supposed to be the impression of someone. Not he sees like someone is kicking him and kids are screaming and running and people are talking. No, comes in and what is this? It's the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What does that literally mean? It means that Christ is literally there, glorified amongst his people and his saints and his angels, the good people, the right company, the good company. And the church during liturgy is literally like this, literally, that Christ is present literally with all his saints, his angels, and his glory is shining. And his saints and his angels are singing holy, 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 and, you know, giving him all the praise, giving him all the glory. That's heaven. That's heaven. That's supposed to be. I'm trying to explain something that you don't really see it. I'm privileged that I'm inside and I can see the glory of God. You see other things out there here, you know. So I feel bad for you. But hopefully, when you come in, you come in with this mentality, you are really approaching heaven with Christ is really present with the glory of his Father and the Holy Spirit amongst all his saints and angels, and it's a big party, exactly a piece of heaven on earth. And we gather around him, and he unites us with him. As Abuna said, make us all worthy, O our Master, to partake of your holies unto the purification of our souls, our bodies, and our spirits, that we may become one body and one spirit with each other and with you, and may have a share and inheritance with all the saints have pleased you since the beginning. Where are all these things? They are with us. They are literally present. Did you know that when we mention the saints in the church, that they come and they participate in the prayer? They are there. Whether you see them or you don't see them, it's a different story. God gave some people to see these images. And these are not few people. A lot of people, God opens their eyes to see that, to a point that some of them are so distracted by that that they need special prayer so they don't see these visions. There is the very famous one that's actually in the stories of Abuna Bishoy Kamel, that one of the people who used to confess to him, they used to see all the saints. And of course, these people that God opened their eyes, they see in their feasts and they see what's special. God's just giving them this vision. So this person fell into a very, very bad sin. He almost left the church. And of course, everything stopped. And then when he came back and when he repented, the visions didn't come back. And he was worried that when he came back, he's not as good or he's not as worthy. And he asked the Abuna Bishoy Kamel, will this come back? I said, I don't know. But, you know, you're accepted to God. Your sin is forgiven. You're exactly as you were here. Nothing really changed. He said, I don't believe that. I feel I'm less. I feel I'm not as the same. He said, we'll see. And shortly after, God gave him to see the same visions again. Even though this person fell into, you know, a very, very bad sin, as I said, and even left the church, but came back. That's, you know, it's, you know, God is amazing and he's accepting. And also it shows us that these people who see visions, they're not just not in a different category. They're like one of us, but it's a gift. It's a gift given to certain people. But what they say, it's common between all these people. It's common that, you know, they see the same thing. The reason why I'm telling you that, I want you to know what happens here when we come during the liturgy. Why during the liturgy? Because God promised that if two or three gather in my name, I will be in their midst. That's it. One promise. We live on this promise. And he said, you know, whenever you gather, do this in remembrance of me. Okay, Lord, we do this. How the bread and wine transform into the body and blood of Christ? By this. When you gather, do this. This promise make us ready to have the liturgy always and partake of the body and blood of the Lord. Big part of the liturgy is the saints and their lives. I was telling you about the readings of the church and how the readings of the weekdays, not Sundays, is all about the saints. So when there is a martyr, all the readings about martyrdom. So the focus is about the saint of the day. Where did we get this from? Why the church is so obsessed by St. George and his feast? And even the readings of the liturgy is about him. Isn't the liturgy about Christ? Why? Why? What's the point? I'll tell you what happens in heaven, and then we come back to earth. The people who visited heaven, and they came back, they say in each saint's feast, there's a big party. And actually, the party is in his palace. Everyone has his palace. So in his party, in his day, everybody gather in his place, in his palace, and, you know, they have fun with him, and they talk, and, you know, they're community, just as like, you know, the way we are. So apparently, the church adopted that. Because remember, what happens here is not put by any human beings. It's put by saints and people who lived heaven on earth. These people were inspired by the Holy Spirit. So what we're doing here is not something apart from heaven. It is a replica. It is the window of heaven. The same way they're celebrating the saint. Let's go back to the saint. What's so special about the saint? Why do we celebrate the saints? Why do we talk about their feast? Why do we put their icons? And why do we, like, you know that the only reading that's read in the liturgy other than the Bible is the life of the saints? Because the whole liturgy, you know, and the whole reading is about them. Why? Why are we so obsessed by them? أُكْرِمَ الَّذِينَ يَكْرِمُونِ I honor those who honor me. طب honor فوق وتحت كمان؟ Yes. But there is another reason. Not just Jesus honoring them. That is true. Something else. Something very, 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 very important. And I want you as servants to know. It is very important. Yes. Constant reminder of what we look up to, okay? Type. How look? Because every time we say the writings of the fathers or the life of the saints, why this is important. Please listen to this. Very important. Jesus wrote so many commandments, okay? These commandments, when we read them, we translate them our own way. For example, love your enemies or do good to those who curse you. How do you do it? Maybe do good to them, pray for them. So I listened to the commandment and I applied the way I think. These people were inspired by the Holy Spirit and they lived the commandment of Christ. So they became the living Bible. So the Bible doesn't become theories, things we interpret on our own. But if you really want to interpret the Bible, it's here. That's the interpretation. Saint Moses, this is repentance. If you want to know what's the repentance. Saint Anthony, this is leaving the world. How? This is how you do it. This is how they did it, and this is how you do it. That's what's written in the book of Song of Songs. It's like, how do I know the way? Walk behind their footsteps. Look at the end of their life and follow their conduct. Because this is the living Bible. Okay? Apart from the saints, we could invent the Bible. We could have our own Bible. We could have our own interpretation. But this is the living Bible. What the apostles did is that they lived the commands of Christ. So, I need the courage and the sacrifice of Saint George. And I need the mission of Saint Mark and his life of mission and his life of faith. How do I live that? Instead of interpreting that, instead of, you know, if I'm struggling with sin, am I okay? Am I normal? Is it too much? Am I obsessed? Look at this man, Saint Moses. He struggled so many years with the thoughts, with the lusts. So I look at him, look at his life, say, I'm okay. Thank God, I'm trying, following his footsteps. Okay, so you understand now the liturgy, heaven, the saints, the angels. If I talk about the angels, oh my God, you know, we're never going to end and we're never going to finish here. As we pray in Agbaya, as we stand in your holy sanctuary, we are counted as standing in heaven. Okay? Even the deacons are wearing white, and the priests, representation of the angels and an image of heaven. Even some of the candles for the same reason. I'll tell you one of the responses of the deacons. You know, the response of greet one another with a holy kiss. There is another one for St. Gregory liturgy, which is beautiful. Some of the deacons know it's a hymn called Asbazisti. What is it called? It says here, the deacon, he looks at the people and say, let's stand well. Let's stand piously. Let's stand attentively. Let's stand in peace. Let us stand with the fear of God and trembling. Offer in order. Stand, look towards the east. Let us attend. O clergy and all people, in supplication and thanksgiving, with calmness and quietness, lift up your eyes towards the east to see the altar and the body and the blood of Emmanuel our God placed upon it. The angels and archangels standing, the seraphim with six wings and the cherubim full of eyes cover their faces because of the splendor of the greatness of his invisible and unutterable glory. They praise with one voice, proclaiming and saying, holy, 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 Lord of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your holy glory. The cherubim, the seraphim, the angels, the archangels, we say all the ranks of actually the angels during liturgy. The principalities, the authorities, you know, these are the ranks of, did you know that? Do you know that these are the ranks of the angels? It's not just words that don't have any meaning. Dominions is actually a rank of angels called dominions. And the powers, it's another rank. The lords. Lords is actually part of the al-arbab. They're part of the, you know, the authorities. Another rank of angels. So these are different ranks of angels. Why do we mention them? Because they're here. They're literally here. And they are standing in fear and trembling. They are not worthy to look towards God. They don't find themselves worthy to do that. What's our response to what I said? One is reverence, especially when we come to church. I'll read this part and explain it very quickly. It says, for you are he, We're talking to God. You are He, around whom stand the cherubim and the seraphim, six wings to the one and six wings to the other. So the cherubim and the seraphim have six wings. With two, they cover their faces. And with two, they cover their feet, and they fly with two. Creatures, they have two wings. What do they do with the two wings? They use them to fly. But why six wings? Why six? Two for covering the eye, two for covering the feet. This is like an awe or reverence. And two, they fly. So two-thirds of their power, of their wings, they're all wings. They don't have body. They're all just wings. They're six wings. That's all what it is. Four of them is for showing reverence to God. That's it. And two for work. Two-thirds of your work here in the liturgy is reverence and being in the presence of God and understanding what that is. And then with two, you could ask for things. You could pray. You could use. If you don't do anything in liturgy but show reverence, you are lifted up to heaven. Even if you say nothing. You know what the problem is? That we are so much mentally, what is the right word? Like, we look for mental interaction. Like, when I come to the liturgy, I want to pray certain prayer. I want to get certain message. I want to feel certain feelings. It doesn't really matter. All what you need is to be in the presence of God and to be in heaven. When you leave, you will become a different person. And not only that, if the church during liturgy is a piece of heaven, imagine someone is tired, having a hard time, hard day, difficult day, difficult week, comes inside, what happens? Lifted up, forgets about earthly things. When he sees the glory of God, and everybody's just in awe in the presence of God, there is no way this person is not lifted up. But this is our work together. Liturgy is the work of the people. I can't make you feel heaven inside and hear a zoo. It doesn't work that way. But we need to be all in the same spirit. He said, two or three gather in my name. We have to be all together in that. That's why no pews. Pews A. They'll be all like archangels and they're standing, they're covering their faces, their feet. What's sitting? What is sitting is all about? That's why the pews is something new. Why? Because the church was not supposed to be done for meetings. We imitated that from the Western churches, when the Western churches started to be built and nice pews, so we made pews, put it in the church. But the church is not for a meeting. It's not a gathering place for meetings. It's for heaven. And heaven, everybody's standing. Worship God with fear and tremble. All what I want you to do is next time when you're bowing down, you're not trying to catch on a sleep and you're not trying to catch up on rest, but think about the tremble thing. With fear and trembling. Make sure when you're moving that your moving is very, very limited, because you're pushing and shoving angels when you're doing that. Literally, you're doing that. We used to tell that to our kids, so they don't move a lot in the church, but it is reality. It is real. It's like when you're moving in the church, you're pushing angels, literally. Okay? So easy on them. I'm not a rule like fanatic about rules, and you know me, you know me better than this. But scarves are important in the church. Why? It gives the reverence also. Not for this side. I'm talking to this side. You know, why? Because St. Paul said that, and you know, again, you don't see me here standing and, oh, why are you doing that? Why, you know, put on that. Some priests, some churches do that. We don't. But we hope that you understand what's behind that. It's reverence. It's a submission. And definitely the people who do it and they don't do it, they know the difference. So reverence. Heaven, reverence. The second point in heaven, our response to heaven, is passion. Passion. What does that mean? That's what we say about the angels. And they cry out one to another, sending up the hymn of victory and salvation that is ours, with a voice full of glory, praising, singing, crying, proclaiming, and saying. اللي بالعربي إيه؟ يصرخون وإيه؟ ويصوتون. And this is literally, they're shouting. You know, they're not, they're active. They're lively. They feel the honor to do that. So they're doing that with passion. Sometimes you see that reverence and passion, they don't get along. No, they do get along. You could be in full reverence, but with full passion also during this time. It's not you're doing something or you're just participating in the praises or you're just moving your lips. No, you're praising the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and you are worthy to participate with the angels in that. People don't see angels. But I hope when a stranger comes to the church, we'll see the reflection of God and the reflection of angels in our faces. So when they come, from what? The paintings? The drawings? Well, the spirit of praise. Praise was reverence. Ah, this is heaven. Passion was reverence. Heaven. This is heaven. That's how the church is supposed to evangelize. That when a stranger comes, it will be the experience of his life. I've never felt the presence of God like I did when I stepped inside the church. And with the incense, with the candles, with the singing of people, with the reverence, with the strong presence of God, transform the person. What if a sinner comes? He repents right away. Right away. Without one word. Why? The presence of God. The presence of God. The fear and trembling, you know, we're talking about. We need to experience this. I know that what I'm telling you could be theoretical and might not be even 1% of the case when you come to church. And maybe you come and, you know, you're wondering and, you know, you try to be as close as possible to the door so you can get in and out as many times so, you know, the liturgy passes or in the end. Or you could be a deacon who's like so distracted with so many things. Or you could be a mother with a kid who's driving you crazy. You know, whatever the reason, whatever your situation is, I want this to be your mentality because this is a reality. I'm not trying to use your imagination. No, it is true. It is real. This is what it is. But depending on our perception and depending on our attitude, when we come to church, we make the liturgy. Remember, the liturgy is the work of the people. When we don't experience the presence of God, we're all guilty of that. But when we are all together, this is a great experience. We're all lifted up. We're all, who doesn't need, you know, we have already tough life. That's when Abuna says, like, you're excited to come to church. Why? Because you'll be lifted up. And forgetting about everything in your life, you're in the presence of God. You know, you're forgetting yourself and your presence in the presence of the Almighty. That's why kids love church, love the Urban, they love the incense, you know. Sometimes they run in the church because that's their energy, and actually that's their liturgy. You think that God only is praised through hymns. No, it could be by jumping up and down, that's kind of praise, you know. They have their own liturgy. Believe it or not, this is their liturgy. They're praising God that way, you know, birds, you know, are praising God certain ways. Ducks are praising God certain ways. And kids are praising God certain ways. So, but the most important thing that they know that this is something holy and this is the presence of God. They are angels. If they want to play with them, if they want to shout at them, if they want to have, you know, fun with them, that's fine. But they know what that is. Kids love liturgy. They love take communion. They love incense. Heaven is for everyone. That's the beauty. Heaven is for the scientist, and it's for the paralyzed, for the handicapped, for the person who can think and who cannot think, for the one who can praise, and it doesn't really matter. And I know you might not take what I'm going to say. It doesn't really matter if the priest is praying in Arabic or in English or in Coptic, or in another language, it doesn't really matter. It's not about the words. It's about the action that we are in the presence of God. You think when you go to heaven, you're going to understand everything? No. Angels will teach you. They will teach you certain things. They will teach you certain hymns and certain, you know, learn these hymns, learn these things to participate. But it doesn't really matter. It's not about here. It's not about the understanding of, it's about exercise, it's about practice. The only way for your children and for you to exercise that is to see someone who's doing that. The only way you live in heaven is when you see a creature from heaven. So how did I learn to pray? The liturgy is full of like the awe of God. Like, if you notice, what we do here is different from a lot of churches. Like, a lot of people come, like deacons, they visit. And when they are in the altar, like, you know, deacons, like, move by, you know, like, if someone is moving too much, I give him the look, I give him the elbow, I give him everything. But, you know, it's not allowed. But in other places, like, it's in and out, and, you know, deacons are talking. We don't know why we're not doing that, because I've never seen it. I've grown in churches where the presence of God and the awe of God, and, you know, this is something serious. So I can give it to people. But if I never seen that, I can never give it to someone else. Same to you, if you're servants, same thing. People will learn from our participation in the liturgy more than our preaching and more than our, no matter how we talk about the liturgy, but it's how we live the liturgy, how to practice the liturgy. That's everything that I wanted to say. And, you know, we're 10 minutes early, so I'll give you 5 minutes for questions, if you have any questions. No questions, we'll finish. Any questions so far? Of course, this is part one. Still have part two and three. Any questions? Best thing in heaven, there is no questions. So that's good. You're living now the liturgy. Okay, let's stand up for prayer.
Amen, amen, amen. Your death we proclaim. Your holy resurrection and ascension. to the heavens we confess. We praise you, we bless you.
Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you've opened up the gates of your church, Lord, that we may enter and bow down before your holy temple. We thank you, Lord, for the glory which we can see, Lord, in your liturgy, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that at any time we desire, Lord, we can enter into heaven, Lord, and to become united with you. Grant that we, O Lord, would become holy as you are holy, and that we would truly understand that we are liturgical beings and that everything that we do should bring glory to you, and that everything we do should we should give you thanks. We pray, O Lord, that we, your people, Lord, at all times, Lord, would be made worthy to partake of your holies unto the purification of our souls, our bodies, and our spirits, that we may become one body and one spirit, and may have a share and inheritance with all the saints who have pleased since the beginning. Grant, Lord, that we may be able to experience, Lord, your living presence in the liturgy, and that we would always, Lord, adjust our lives, prepare our lives, Lord, for the great exchange of life that takes place. We thank you, Lord, for such a heavenly gift that we're so unworthy of. We give thanks to you for your great love. Through the intercessions of the Holy Virgin Mary, the prayers of St. Mark, with the blessings of this fast, make us worthy to pray thankfully, our Father who art in heaven. Now the love of God the Father, grace of his only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, the gift and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Go in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you all.